Listen to today's Ross Report to find out who's been signed. Hi, I'm Mori Baranski, and welcome back to the Ross Report Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, July 14th here at Gillette Stadium, and today you get to listen to the Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, and Tom Casale talk about all the updates on the roster.
And welcome back to the Patriots Roster Report Podcast. Thanks, Laurie, for that wonderful introduction. It is Friday, July 14th, and we're now 2 weeks away from the opening of training camp. Double sessions, in fact, on Friday, July 28th. Aren't we all excited for that? Well, this week, the Patriots did make two signings, two of their rookie draft picks, and we're going to talk about that with Tom Casale and Paul Perillo. Seventh-round pick Willie Andrews was the first guy to sign, and then sixth-round pick Dan Stevenson, one of three sixth-round picks, he signed on Thursday. So the Patriots making those first moves. They still have eight more to go, and, you know, not uncommon for teams to still have that many players unsigned, but now we are 2 weeks away. Do you guys see any complications coming up, or do we think we're going to see sort of a daily draft pick signing email coming from PR?
I don't think there'll be too many complications. The Patriots don't pick near the top of the draft,
right.
So that's usually where you get stuck. So I think everything will fall into place. And the two, I mean, usually sixth and seventh round guys aren't a big deal, but I think both these guys got a good chance to make the team or at least the practice squad.
And generally when you see the draft picks starting to get signed, it's a domino effect. And we, you know, once the slots are all, you look around the league and, you know, 35 overall and 38 overall get signed, and then pretty soon 36 and 37 are going to fall in. Because once everybody gets slotted, that's when the money kind of gets ironed out, and I think we'll see that for the most part in the weeks going forward.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there are any first-round picks who have signed in the NFL yet.
I believe that's true.
The Bears have signed all of their picks, but they didn't have a first-rounder.
Right.
I think they had one or two second-rounders.
Right.
But no one in the first round has signed. You start seeing every day a couple of guys, you know, like Jeremy Bloom signed with the Eagles and a handful of guys. But, you know, this next two-week period is really when players will sign. There's certainly around the league, there's always going to be some holdouts, and we had one 2 years ago with Benjamin Watson. But you're right, you know, we have, you know, Lawrence Maroney was the 21st pick overall, and then you have Chad Jackson in the second round, and you know, you figure if there's going to be any picks, any players who there might be some negotiations and that could become contentious, yeah, it'd probably be those two. But other than that, we're
the only one I would see maybe is Jackson, because he might think he wants first round money.
Rounder.
Right.
Everybody
yeah.
keeps saying I'm a first rounder.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, 32 teams didn't say you're a first rounder.
Right.
You're a second rounder, buddy. So
well, part of the problem, and I know that we have other things to move on to, but you know, the whole way, I guess the rookie pool this year increased by 40%.
Right.
But yet, there was a much smaller increase on the minimum salary. It was only 5%. So there's the agents are trying to get some of that extra money that's available in that pool, and I think that's maybe causing some problems, like Tom said, with some of the top guys. But I think with the Patriots, Tom, makes an accurate point. When you're not picking at the top of the round, I don't think that's as big a deal. And now, as we know, we talked about this in previous podcasts, the terms are now kind of dictated, the maximum anyway, you know, the top half of that first round, 6 years, bottom half, 5 years. So Maroney, the most he can get is a five-year deal.
Right.
So the Patriots won't have one of those Ben Watson deals where they're trying to hammer a six-year deal down on the guy, and the guy doesn't want to do that. They have no choice.
It's
five at the most,
right.
And then everybody from the second round on is four at the most.
And it's interesting because one of you brought up the idea of slotting, and it really, I think like in the NBA, there's almost like the terms of the contracts are almost put into place even before the draft. In the NFL, it's not like that formally, but there is a slotting element in place, and you get some agents who say, well, you know, if my guy was taken 15th, I'm not going to have him sign his contract until 14 and 16 sign. You got weird things like that sort of dictate how this all falls into place.
Yeah, and they've talked about that. Guys that have signed in slots so far this year have gotten less in a lot of cases than guys in the same spot last year.
Right. Now, interestingly, Logan Mankins was the first-round pick to sign in the NFL last year. He was 32nd overall by the Patriots. And I think later on that same day, there were a few guys who were
who were signed. So it's one of those things where if one guy signs, we'll see if the ball gets rolling. And Tom, you mentioned Willie Andrews and Dan Stevenson, these first two guys to sign, good chance to make the team. Yeah, I kind of agree. I think Willie Andrews a role in the return game, which is absolutely open for business right now. And Dan Stevenson, he's a guard. I think the Patriots are in phenomenal shape with their starting guards, but I think the third guard, is completely open for business.
Plus they used him at center too.
And they used
him
at
center. So he's a guy that can move around a little bit.
Exactly.
I think a lot of that depends on Copen though. Because I think if Copen, if he was ready to go at the beginning of the season, which I think is still a question mark, then you have Hochstein to be the backup, interior lineman. And I think that maybe pushes Stevenson maybe back toward that practice squad.
Right.
But if Copen's not quite ready, maybe he has a job. You know, don't forget, you still have guys like Merzkowski who've been around for a couple of years.
Ross Tucker.
Billy Yates. So I don't want to just take a sixth round pick and, you know, put him on the team. I think that he's got, certainly an opportunity. I agree with you guys, but he's got to beat out some guys that have been around for a couple
of
years.
And Andrews would have to do it in the return. I mean, if he doesn't win that return job, his chances of making the team,
strictly as a defensive back are probably pretty small.
Right.
But maybe the most experienced return guy on the team.
Right.
You know, I mean, with the exception of Troy Brown, who's in his 14th year. But,
right.
I mean, even the guys that have returned at the NFL level a little bit haven't really gotten the amount of reps that this guy had
the two most
in college.
Experience, and they're both rookies.
And we all saw at minicamp about a month ago, exactly a month ago, a lot of guys got some
a lot
looks
of guys.
At which basically
at one
tells
point,
you
11 different guys at
yeah.
one point
yeah,
returning kicks,
and which basically tells you that no one has this job right now.
Right.
They're given. I mean, Jackson, Maroney, Riche Caldwell, guys like Bam Childress. I mean, you had plenty of guys getting opportunities.
If I had to throw out a guess. Out of the two guys that are back there to start the season, I think Maroney will be one of them because he's not going to be the starting running back yet. He has experience. He has that speed. So I think he'll be one of them. I don't know who the other one will be.
And for sure he's on the roster. I mean, we're talking about some of these guys like Andrews and Bam Childress who are no locks to be on the roster.
Right.
Maroney is. So you can look at it that way. So we'll see who else gets signed, between now and our next podcast next week. A couple of other things, not necessarily involving the Patriots roster. One thing, the supplemental draft came and went yesterday. Only one guy was taken, really the only guy who was a sure bet to be taken. That was Virginia linebacker Ahmad Brooks. He went in the third round to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Big surprise.
Somewhat fitting based on their histories, recent history.
Very weird thing going on in Cincinnati because Marvin Lewis is that hard-nosed kind of coach, and out of nowhere, he starts drafting and getting these guys with all these off-the-field problems. It
and
just
it's
doesn't
guys,
fit.
It's guys who have had off-the-field problems, including arrests while they've been Bengals
highly
players.
Publicized.
But it's not like they were... they had sterling reputations before they came to the Bengals.
Right.
They had problems before.
Like
and
Tom
now,
Jackson was trying to make people think on ESPN yesterday, saying that, well, you know, these guys, if they don't shape up, Marvin Lewis is going to put up with it. But they had these problems when he selected them.
Exactly.
That's the thing that's so perplexing about it.
You got Chris Arrestamonth Henry.
Right.
You got A.J. Nicholson, who was just drafted this past year. Frosty Rucker, who was just drafted this past year. Now, Ahmad Brooks.
Odell Thurman,
who we're going to get to in a moment. And part of the reason why there's some speculation that the Bengals went after Ahmad Brooks is because fellow linebacker Odell Thurman, who was drafted in 2005, appears to be suspended for the first 4 weeks due to the league's substance abuse policy. And another guy who has a questionable past. So they're just collecting these guys, and it calls into question, what are they thinking? I mean, these are guys whose clearly their off-the-field troubles are affecting their on-field troubles when you can't get on the field because you're suspended or arrested.
To the team.
Exactly. But bring up Odell Thurman. Odell Thurman and Todd Sauerbrunn of the Denver Broncos, those are two guys who in the last couple weeks have their reports, I don't know if they've been confirmed yet, that they'll be suspended for 4 weeks with the substance abuse policy in the NFL. Both of those guys are on teams who are on the Patriots schedule during those first 4 weeks of the season. So these are
generally
guys
the way it happens.
It's
generally you've been around,
the way
you've been around long
Culpepper
enough to know.
Won't be playing.
Culpepper.
Palmer won't be playing.
Right. We play, the Patriots play the Bengals in week four.
Right.
Palmer, it's iffy. The Dolphins are week five, I think.
Yep.
Again, iffy. You would think that the Steelers are on the schedule week one, and Roethlisberger would be iffy, but they're not on the schedule this year. Things sometimes fall into place, don't they, Paul?
Speaking of Roethlisberger, I thought it was, did you see some of the quotes that he had? He spoke publicly for the first time. Kind of scary stuff. That thing about his, the artery being severed his stomach was filling up with blood. And, maybe
he's a lucky guy.
Yeah, he's a lucky. I mean, we knew that anyway. you know, not wearing the helmet and all that stuff, but just to see, you know, it was almost like that Clint Malarchuk thing, remember, from the NHL several years ago where he, you know, he got the artery, the carotid artery, severed by the skate. And after afterward, the trainers were talking, they were saying, had it happened on the other end of the ice and they had to go the length of the ice to get him into the locker room before they could really start administering, you know, proper, you know, it might have been too late. And this is the same kind of deal. The paramedics on the scene with Roethlisberger, you know, maybe we're talking about the matter of minutes,
and I
you
think
know, where it could have been, you know, at the end of his life.
And I think with Roethlisberger, it was more internal bleeding, so it was even harder to recognize this problem. And in his own words, it was seconds, maybe a minute away from a fatality. And, hey, the guy is lucky to be walking and leading a normal life, let alone...
And he looked... I got to tell you, he looks...
Yeah,
I don't want to say normal,
no, but
he looks pretty close to normal.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he had a very minor lisp because I think he lost some teeth.
Yeah.
And he had a little bit of a, you know, I think a
residual swelling.
But really lucky. I mean, really
interesting,
lucky.
Though, with just looking ahead to the season, everyone thinks, you know, usually that the same teams last year are going to be good again this year. As usually,
isn't
you
that
know,
the way it is?
Yeah, it's always that way. But
I read all the experts, right. Tom, and that's what they tell
according to them, you know, it's guaranteed Seattle
and
Carolina
Pittsburgh.
Is a rematch in the NFC Championship game. But in the AFC, I think it's interesting because you got a lot of the contending teams with quarterbacks who have question marks, like Palmer, like your Culpepper, like Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. So that could, you know, start shaking things up a little bit, so it's going to be interesting. Because I'm not buying that all these guys with torn knee ligaments are all going to be there on opening
day.
No,
they all say, "Oh, come on!" If you ask them,
the rehab, Tom, is ahead of schedule.
Hey, even
really
for the
start,
Rock,
you really got to start reading some of these reports.
Even for the Rock, I think they're going to be coming. I think they're going to be shooting here in September. That guy's only needs 3 months of rehab, for crying out loud. You're right. You hear these guys talk. I mean, you get into a major motorcycle accident 6 weeks before training camp. Going to be right back at it. You got Culpepper and you got Palmer. Breeze.
Right. But then again, maybe medical science has made that leap because I didn't think there was any chance I'd see Terrell Owens in that Super Bowl. And
yeah.
There he was.
That was, not even 8 weeks?
Maybe now they've made that leap again where they're starting to fix these things quicker than they used to. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But if they do, that's good news for the Patriots because they have a guy they need back as well in Rodney Harrison.
Absolutely. And Harrison, unlike some of these other guys, Harrison's injury came very early in last season. So he had, you know, by the time training camp starts, it will be, 10 months. It'll be, it will have been 10 and a half months from his injury. So, you know, a guy like Drew Brees, who was in the last regular season game, Carson Palmer in the first playoff game, that's a big gap there. So that's very interesting. And, you mentioned Rodney Harrison. Dan Copen's name came up, and those are a couple guys who we'll see what their status is day one of training camp, which, as we mentioned at the top of the show, is in just 2 weeks. Paul, you're excited about this, aren't you?
I am. I'm always excited at the start of training camp.
I've never been to a
Tom,
training camp.
It's the middle of training. It's the middle of training camp that gets me down.
Right. Day one, day two of training camp. Great. Bring on the 2-a-days. Day five, day six.
I'm very excited every year at the start of training camp and then again at the start of the regular season. It's the grind.
Why?
You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
The only problem I have is that the fans are going to be around, and I know a lot of people don't like me. I'm afraid someone's going to take a poke at me.
Tom, make sure you bring not one, not two, but three Sharpies every time so you can sign autographs to the fans who are there to see you. And training camp.
And that comes from Brian Lowe, who is the only member of this department who has actually signed an autograph. So, you know,
Paul,
don't let the ego run amok on
him. You haven't signed any autographs?
Never signed an autograph and never will. If someone asks me for an autograph, I'll tell them to ask for someone that's worthy of
trust
signing.
Trust me. I do that, too. In fact, someone showed me a hat that had, like, Willie McGinnis autograph on it, and I was like, no, I'm not signing this hat. I'm no one. And you want me to sign a hat that has Willie McGinnis' name on it? No, not happening.
But then he told him to go get another hat, and I'll sign that one.
I will agree with you on one thing. That's the rightest thing you've ever said on this show. You are no one.
I am a nobody. I'm doing a podcast here for 15 minutes. No, that's not true.
Good for you.
We're all looking forward to training camp. It is a good time. And hey, come on out to training camp. It's open to the public. It's your only chance. It's absolutely, as a fan, your only chance to see these players this much up close
and personal.
And personal and see them. The practices are entertaining. You truly can get a sense of who is doing what out there. And you know, you can kind of hear. The most fascinating part to us is when you hear the coaches actually. And some of these coaches are loud, and you can kind of hear what they say to these players. And it's a good time. So 2 weeks from today, it begins. It's open to the public. Come on out. one week from today will be another Patriots Roster Report podcast. And, you know, maybe we find out next week that Andy Hart still works here and is going to join us one of these days.
Hey, who knows? We might be finding out that Lawrence Maroney and Chad Jackson are in the fold. And
if so, maybe they can join us on the podcast, you know, if Andy is still out. So that's going to do it for today. For Paul Perillo and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe, wrapping up the Patriots podcast for today, and we send it back to Lauren.
Thanks, guys. And to learn more on training camp, check on Patriots.com. And remember, we'll have a podcast every day of training camp. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.